Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Father God, for this day. Thank you for coming in, Lord God, and taking control. Lord God, I lift up this blog to you. I lift up this word to you, Lord God. And I ask you, Father God, as every day, to please increase as I decrease, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. In Jesus' name I pray, believing and trusting that all things are working for the good of those that love you, Father God, and are called according to your purpose. Lord God, I ask you to watch over and bless pastors today as they go forward in their churches. I ask you, Father God, to heal those that are sick of heart, mind, and body. I ask you, Lord God, to give strength to my pastor, Pastor Jackie, Lord God, as she moves forward without the love of her life beside you, her husband, Lord God. And I pray that Pastor Paul is in a better place, for he is with you, Father God, for your word, and we stand on it. His absence from the body is in the presence of the Lord. So we know he is absent from this earthly shell, Lord God, and that he is with you. Hallelujah. Not sick, not ill, but with you. Hallelujah. Being a servant, asking, Lord, what can I do to help you? Hallelujah. And Lord God, we are thankful and ask you today, Lord, what can we do to help you? For we know, Lord, that you did not come for us, that you came for those that needed to be saved. Lord, we need to be saved too. So we know that we are part of the bargain, Lord God, that you did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. So, Father God, if there is anything that any of us has done in thought, in word, or in deed, O God, against your divine and holy majesty, we look up, lift up, and ask you, Lord, to please accept our repentant heart and forgive us for anything and everything that we may have done. In Jesus' name, I pray, believing and trusting that here in you, he lifts up this word, Lord God, again, increase as we decrease. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm a little hoarse today. Had some issues, and as I slept last night and thanking God that he woke me up this morning, because somebody did not wake up today. I'm working with a new mic today, so please let me know, those that know my number, to give me a thumbs up that you're hearing me clearly. Trying something new, so please let me know that it is working. Just send me a note to say, it's okay. The okay, our hands up. Hallelujah. And the word that God gave me again today was, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I know it's a long title, but that's what Jesus said. He didn't come for those that are working and doing the work they're called to do. He came for those that needed him. He didn't come for the religious. He didn't come for those that knew the Father and knew that the Son was coming. He came for the ones that did not know him or of him. He came for all of us. He came for sinners, for none of us are perfect. For we all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. So Jesus came for us all. Hallelujah. And all we can say is thank you, Father, for your Son. And so this morning, again, we got a New Testament word, and I'm excited. You know, we are in the book of Mark, and Mark is a very interesting book. And when we go into our little, I call it my teeny tiny Bible book that explains it all. Hallelujah. And it says, Know Your Bible. And I would tell anybody, get this little book. It's very small. You can get it on Amazon. And it's part of a whole group of books, and it's called Know Your Bible. All 66 books explained and amplified and applied, you know, explained and applied. And so we're going to go to Mark. And it says, not stated but traditionally attributed to John Mark, a missionary companion of Paul and Barnabas, Acts 12 and 25 of the Apostle Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13, and that it was probably written about 60 years or so after Jesus' death, so it's probably 60 during the Roman persecution of Christians. In 10 words or less, Jesus is God's son, a suffering servant of all people. And that's a summation of Mark in 10 words. Jesus is God's son, a suffering servant of all people. And some details of Mark are these. The second of the four Gospels is believed by most to be the first one written. The book of Mark is the briefest and most active of the four biographies of Jesus, the majority of which is repeated in the Gospels of Matthew, Luke, and Luke. Mark addresses a Gentile audience, portraying Jesus as a man of action, divinely capable of healing the sick, controlling nature and battling the powers of Satan. Suffering servant comes through in his narrative of Jesus' interaction with the hostile doubters, the Jewish leaders who want to kill him. And we'll get to that in Mark chapter 9, verse 31. His neighbors who take offense at him, Mark chapter 6, verse 3. And even his own family members who think he's crazy, Mark chapter 3, verse 21. The abasement of Jesus teaches what his disciples should pursue. Whoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. But even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice for us. And these are some quotables, and they are King James quotables, and the way we learn them. And it is, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Hallelujah. And that'll be a word for this morning. In Mark chapter 1, verse 17. And then the one that I have a few more, this one always does to my heart. Because we know the disciples were trying to keep the little kids out. But Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. But such is the kingdom of God. Chapter 10, verse 14 of the book of Mark. And I want to read that again. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. But such is the kingdom of God. And another, some more scriptures is this, Mark chapter 10, verse 25. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Ooh, Mark chapter 10, verse 25. You can't buy your way into heaven. You know, there are folks, you know, think they can buy their way into heaven. You cannot. You cannot. So I'm paying my tithes. No, your tithes don't get you to heaven. Repentance is what gets you to heaven. Knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is what gets you to heaven. You have faith and work together. Because faith without work is dead. So we have to make sure we work the work. We do what we're called to do. We repent, and when we mess up, to get up, dust off, ask forgiveness, and keep moving forward toward the mark of the high calling. And this is another one. It says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, to God the things that are God's. Pay your taxes if they are due. File your taxes if you need to. But we give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and we give to God what belongs to God. Your taxes belong to your government, but your tithes belong to God. Hallelujah. Watch ye and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. If you know you got a drinking problem and a fornicating problem, you don't go down the boo-boo and them down the street where you know drinking and fornication is going on. If you got a drug problem, you don't go to the crack house. If you got an alcohol problem, you don't go down the alcohol aisle at the Walgreens. Come on. The Walmart, or the CVS, or any other S. You don't go down the alcohol aisle when you know you got an alcohol problem. We got to watch as well as pray. Don't allow the enemy to take you down that path and that road towards damnation. Because he wants us to walk through the wide gate that leads to hell. That's what he wants. But we got to say, not today, Satan. And we got to get up, dust off, do what we know we're supposed to do. Because we're not doing it for ourselves. We are doing it because we love God. Hallelujah. Unique and unusual, Mr. Balmark. And we'll find that in Mark chapter 14, verses 51 to 52. It says, many believe an unnamed speculator at Jesus' arrest mentioned in Mark's gospel was Mark himself. I'm sorry, spectator. Many believe an unnamed spectator, there we go, at Jesus' arrest mentioned in Mark's gospel was Mark. And there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young man laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Verse 14, 51 through 52. So what? When we talk about Mark, so what? Suffering and loss aren't necessarily bad things. In fact, for Christians, they're the pathway to real life. Chapter 8, verse 35. And I can tell you, many of us in our lives have lost family. You know, lost parents, lost husbands, lost wives, lost jobs, lost the use of body parts. But God loved us even in the midst. I believe it makes the Savior hold us much tighter. It's like a butterfly. A butterfly cannot become a butterfly unless he goes through a process. And that process is from a caterpillar. Then he has to fight practically his way out of the cocoon to become a butterfly. And it takes him pushing and pushing and pushing to get out. But you can't help him, because if you cut it open and try to help him, he won't be able to fly. His body won't be able to do what it needs to do. So we have to go through suffering to get to repentance. We have to go through some things to get where we need to be with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit. So we fight the fight of faith because we love God and we are loved by God. So thank God today for your grace. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for loving you so you can love yourself and love others. So let's get into this word this morning. We do have Psalms and Proverbs, but we're going to start in Mark today, a little different than normal, and then we'll go back and finish up in our Psalm and Proverbs this morning. And it says this, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Ooh, I love that word, prepare you the way of the Lord. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. There's that word, repentance. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loosen. I indeed baptized with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. Immediately, not a little while later, not Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, oh, wait a minute, it happened on Monday. But immediately, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Now, Mark doesn't get into the details that Matthew did. He doesn't talk about what the temptations were. And he don't talk about the rebuking of the devil. Come on now. He just talks about that he was tempted and angels came. So there's a lot in between that Mark doesn't get into, but Mark also was not a disciple in the time of Christ. He became a missionary and became a worshiper and a follower after death. Know your Bible. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Oh, come on. There's that word again. Repent. Repent and believe in the gospel. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, but they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. They immediately, now again, now Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, talk about, let me go tell my dad, let me go see my wife, let me go tell my children. No, immediately. Their net and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with a hired servant and went after him. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught, and they were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as a scribe. Oh, hallelujah. He taught with authority. And I'm sure he was saying, you need to repent. Because he didn't come for the righteous. He came for the sinner. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure that we have opportunity to repent. We have opportunity to be saved. We have opportunity, ooh, hallelujah, to be made righteous because of Jesus, who came for the sinner, Hallelujah. Mark chapter 1, verse 23-45. And it says this, now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out saying, let us alone. So it was more than one spirit. Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Even the demons knew who he was. The demons knew who Jesus was. Whereas the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious said, so heavenly minded, they were no earthly good. They knew the word, but didn't know how to live it. And they knew who Jesus was, but said they didn't. Come on now. You know Jesus. And it's not just Mary's son. Come on. You standing by watching him heal the sick, raise the dead. Come on now. But you're going to act like you don't know who he is when you are a theologian and you know what the word of God says. So if you study the word as a Pharisee and a scribe and a Sadducee, you know the word of God. You know the prophecies of Isaiah. You know what Moses said. You know what David said. You know what Solomon said. You know what Ezekiel and Zechariah and Micah, you know what they said. Hey, God, you know what they said. You know what Daniel said. So there's a word, and you know it. And you know as you watch him right before your eyes, the word being fulfilled, who he was. And the spirits, the demons even knew who he was. And they go on to tell him. But Jesus rebuked them, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For which authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region and Galilee. There is an immediate reaction to who Jesus is, except for the religious there. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick of various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak. They knew him. They knew him. It's like, oops, you're not saying anything today. Jesus was having a get behind me Satan moment there. He was like, nope, you're not talking. You're going to be quiet. You know how you do the fingers where you say, put the two fingers together like when somebody says, like, ah, and you put them hands together, ah. That's Jesus. He was telling me, not today. You're not telling anybody anything. You're getting out of here. You ain't got to go, but you got to go out of him. You got to go out of her. You got to get out of this house. And we got to have some demon cleaning in our house and say, you ain't got to go, but you going to get out of here and take all your mess with you. Come on now. And as we continue to say, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he did what? He prayed. Jesus prayed. And why do we think we don't need to pray? We got to pray just like Jesus did. And he was the Son of God. He was the personification of God in human form. And he prayed. Jesus prayed. And he didn't pray sometimes. He prayed all the time. Prayed. tickets for the prayer warrior. Come on now. Pray. And we got to pray too. Because we are not better than Jesus. Goes on to tell us, and Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. But he said to them, let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And he was preaching in the synagogue throughout Galilee and casting out demons. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus noted with a and Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken immediately, there's immediately again, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed, and he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as testimony to them. He didn't see that. I didn't come to change the law, I came to fulfill it. So what did he tell the leper to do? To go and do those Moses commanded as a testimony to them. And we'll see more of these things as we get through Leviticus. Moses gave commands of things to do. And as we get again into chapter 1, verse 45 of Mark, and it says, however, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the manner so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came from every direction. You cannot hide what's good. Jesus was good. Jesus is good. Jesus is absolutely everything you could ask for and more than you could ever want, because that's just who he is, a mighty and wonderful Savior. And we are blessed because of this Savior who loves us, who came for us as sinners to save our souls. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And let's get into Mark chapter 2. Hallelujah. If there's anyone that has anything to say about this wonderful word this morning, just push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. Again, our call-in number for those that would like to call in and not necessarily listen on social media, our call-in number is 213-943-3597. And if you dial 213-943-3597 and would like to speak a word, it's easier because all you have to do is push the 1 on your phone. So, again, our call-in number, 213-943-3597, for those that like to call in. So, again, Mark chapter 2. Let's get into the word, y'all. And this is where our title for our lesson comes from this morning, is from Mark chapter 2, as a quote from Jesus, I did not come to call the righteous but sinners. Repentance. We must repent. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 2, and again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive him, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic, who was carried by 4 men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, What does this man speak blasphemy? Does this man speak blasphemy like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus, you know, Jesus got the supersonic hearing. He can hear you 5 miles away. He can hear. He can see. He knows everything down to the minute word that comes out of your mouth. Yes, he understands the words coming out of your mouth. Jesus didn't pray. So he heard him, what he tells him. But immediately, there's that immediate word again. But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things?" Excuse me. In your heart. Because he understood their heart. Why do you reason about these things in your heart? So can you imagine you thinking something and somebody walks up to you and says, "You shouldn't be thinking that. It's not right. What you thinking is not of God. What you thinking is just wrong." Seeing into your mind, your heart, and hearing your thoughts, that'll be a little wake. I think that should have been a wake-up call, don't you? Because it sure would have terrified me, somebody reading my mind. Even though they'd probably be getting song lyrics, but still, you don't want anybody all up in your mind. Only one in your mind should be God. And, of course, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit should all don't be the only things up in your mind. Because Jesus read their minds. He read their hearts. He read their spirit. And what did he say again? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' you are to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk.' But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. And we know Levi became Matthew. Now it happened as he was dining in Levi's house that many guys sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there was many. And they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, "How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" Can we, and everybody say nose in the air? Because they got real holy there. Huh. I don't believe that those people. Yeah. We get those moments as we looking down because we think we're in heaven ourselves when we're just all up in the heavens and no earthly good. And then Jesus had to tell them about this stuff. When Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician." Come on, y'all. Can y'all say that with me? "Those who are well have no need for a physician. I did not," he said, our word comes from this morning, "I did not come to call the righteous." Can I say that again? I did not come to call the righteous. Jesus said one more time, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There's that word, repent again. The Lord wants us to repent from any sin that we may have committed in thought, in word, and in deed. Sins known and unknown, we got to repent for. And it goes on to tell us the disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to him, why do the disciples of John, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? Just listen. What do you say? They didn't come to fast. And then it goes on to tell us, and Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? Question again. And this is what he tells us. As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. No one sews a piece of untrunk cloth on an old garment. Come on now. Pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. And then he tells us, so whichever one you have, and it says, or else, the new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. And then we got another and in there, and no one puts new wine into old wine skin. Can y'all say that with me? No one puts new wine in old wine skin. The new wine bursts the wine skin. The wine is spilled and the wine skins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wine skins. We got to change who we are when we repent and are saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? So you saying you can't eat on the Sabbath? Come on now. Jesus always got to put folks in their place. He puts us in our place all the time. And he says, but he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry? He had those with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abathar, the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest, and also gave some of those who were with him, some to those who was with him. In other words, Jesus and everybody with him was eating. And he goes on to tell him, I'm sorry, David and everybody that was with him, his 600, they was eating, and they was eating showbread because they was hungry. When you was hungry, I fed you. And then it goes on to say, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. And you know what? When he spoke to these people like that, that was why they were afraid first and foremost. They were greedy. And they thought they could get away with doing what they did. And how a big lie can last for generations. And we know, we read it last week in Matthew. The big lie was to say that his disciples stole the body, even though the guards saw the angel. The guards passed out in fright from the angel when he came and sat on the rolled away stone. And it was got paid to start a big lie. And the big lie has lasted from generation to generation. And it just lets us know that a lie that takes legs, a lie can walk, a lie can talk, a lie can be made into some, a lie can become a truth for somebody. So we have to be careful of allowing ourselves to accept lies as truth when you know the truth. The truth is what sets us free. But the word is already showing it. A lie happened. All these people saw what Jesus did, saw the miracles, saw the demon possessed made whole, saw the blind able to see, saw the lame able to walk, saw the children and Lazarus raised from the dead, saw what Jesus could do, want to believe instead, chose to believe a lie. And people do it even today. Will believe a lie because it's told by somebody they like than to believe the truth. That's all black and white. Everybody knows it. But I'm going to believe the lies that's told first. Where they say, crucify him after just last week, calling him Hosanna in the highest. We watch Jesus' life through the gospel. And as we go back to Mark chapter 1, verse 5, for a life lesson, it tells us this. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. They was going to John. And it says, confessing our sins reminds us of our guilt and inability to make ourselves right, even as it points us to the grace of God, who alone can give us spiritual life. Hallelujah, thanking God that he alone gives us spiritual life. We thank God for Jesus. And as we continue in Mark chapter 1, verse 27, with authority he commanded even the unclean spirits, and they obeyed him. Dr. Stanley tells us in these life lessons, Jesus closely connected his teaching with his miracles. The miracles were designed to point to the validity of both his teachings and his personal claim that he was the Son of God. It says in Mark 1, chapter 1, verse 34, he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. And it says Jesus does not need the testimony of evil spirits to collaborate his identity or to vouch for his holy character. We might be impressed with such supernatural witnesses, but Jesus dismissed them. Like, you need to be quiet. The thing that really is not that the demons knew him, but that the theologians acted like they didn't. That's what bothered my spirit. Understand, as we go through Mark 35, it says, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Prayer changes things. Jesus never got too busy to pray. If he had to get up a long time before sunrise to pray, that's what he did. He valued his time alone with his Father and pursued it with his whole life. Even when he was captured, he was in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was praying. There were you stay up with. His disciples went to sleep, but he was praying. Do you pray? Do you lift up the name of Jesus? Do you ask God to forgive you for your sins? Do you repent? And it tells us in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, I did not come, and this is the title of our lesson today, I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. And this life lesson tells us sometimes we feel as if we need to be perfect to see God. But the opposite is true. Jesus came to help all of us in our deepest, most desperate need, the need for a Savior. If you feel weary, discouraged, and hopeless, then Jesus is the physician you need. He offers himself to you right now. Jesus, come make me whole. Make me whole. Come and do a lift off. Make me white as snow. We got to speak to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit. And as the Word says, no one puts new wine into old wine skin. We got to be born again. It says all of us tend to resist change, but God's Spirit continuously moves in new ways and in new directions. If we want to keep into step with the Spirit, we need to be willing to change the way we do things. I know I got some changing to do in my own life, and I'm sure I'm not alone. We all need to change. We all need to get better, to repent. And it tells us the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. God created the Sabbath to bless humankind, to give men and women a much-needed opportunity to rest, relax, and regain strength. The Sabbath was not meant to be a burden, but a blessing. God gave them a rest day. God gives us a rest day. And I'm going to tell you something. When God tells you to rest, rest. Because what will happen, he will put you on your back otherwise. Been there, done that, couldn't walk. Because God said rest, and I kept going. Well, I got this to do, I got that to do, I got. And wind up on my back, not able to move because I broke something. We got to stop and understand. When God say rest, rest. We'll go back and hit a couple of Psalms before we end this morning. It says in Psalm chapter 25, it says, a Psalm of David. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul, a repentant soul. Oh, my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercy and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Hallelujah. I can't help but give a high praise. Upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimony. For your name says, O Lord, pardon my iniquity. There's repentance. But it is great. Who is the man that fears the Lord? I do. Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Are you fearing God today? And as we go back in life lessons, in chapter, in our psalm this morning, the verse is this. In Psalm 25, 4 and 5, show me your ways, O Lord. And this is what it says. We learn God's ways and his truth over time, and we do not become experts in the thing of God overnight. It takes years to mold his servant into the likeness of his son. So we must beware of growing impatient. And these are, I'm going to give these to you if you want to get a pen and paper. And it says, why should we know the ways of God? These are life questions. And it says, in order to know someone intimately, You can't just know what they do. You must know their character and their heart. You have to know what motivates them. The same is true for God. Unfortunately, sometimes we know about God, but we really don't know him. Even more, unfortunately, is that we're satisfied just knowing a few facts about him. Yet God wants us to truly know and love him. Here are six reasons we should know God's ways. Number one, we should know the ways of God because they are essential in knowing him. Number two, we should know the ways of God because he requires that we know them. Number three, we should know the ways of God because they are the yearning of his heart. That God's heart's desire is that we get to know him. Number four, we should know the ways of God because he loves us. Number five, we should know the ways of God because they are the best way. Number six, we should know the ways of God because they are the pathway to success. And when we go back to number one, why should we learn the ways of God? Because we can get to know God's heart by learning about his ways. Life's greatest pleasure is knowing him personally and intimately. Number two, God commands us to know his ways, Deuteronomy 10 and 12. Tells us that God requires that we should fear him, walk in all his ways, and love him. And since God requires us to know his ways, he will certainly help us to understand them. We will learn his ways one at a time as we ask him to show us. We should know the ways of God because he requires that we know him. Number two. And then it goes on to tell us. From number three, we should know the ways of God because they are yearning of his heart. God deeply desires our fellowship. This fact alone should motivate us to care more passionately. He wants us to know him in a deep, meaningful way. Number four, one more time. We should know the ways of God because he loves us. God offers us his way, which is the wisest way, because he's an all-knowing God who loves us and desires the best for us. He wants each of us to realize that his way is so much better than our own, and it's the only way we'll be truly happy. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure when we get to know the Lord. We should know the ways of God because they are the best way. Number five, no matter what situation we face, no matter how difficult a choice it may be, we can be certain that God's way is the best way. Even if it is a difficult and painful one, God will guide us and will give us the strength and wisdom to face our circumstances in a godly manner. We got to thank God today. Number six, we should know the ways of God because they are the pathway to success. God's way offers the true path to success, real success. The world's definition involves wealth and power, but true success is godly living. When we imitate his ways, he blesses us above and beyond our imagination. Thank God today for his loving kindness. Thank God today for his holy way. Thank God today that he gave you another day and that he has allowed you to repent, to be better today than you were yesterday. Psalm 25:11, your name says, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, but it is great. God saves us not because he thinks we're smart or worthy of his son's work on our behalf, but because of his own nature and goodness. He saves us for his namesake and for his glory. Hallelujah. Highest praise goes to God this morning because he gave us another opportunity to give him praise. We have just a few more minutes, and I'm going to try to get in some Proverbs this morning. And the first one is Proverbs, the 9th, starting at verse 10. And it says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you will bear it alone. What a word. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. But she sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city to call to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet. The bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are the depths of hell. Whew! That her guests are in the depths of hell. We know that that woman, hallelujah, and we got to stay away from it. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, and it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. And that is our word today in a proverb, a life lesson, chapter 10, verse 2. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. The Bible never tries to hide the fact that the wicked can indeed amass more treasures through their wicked deeds, but it also insists that those ill-gotten treasures will not benefit them at all in the end. But we all know, we speak on it all the time on this show, you can't take anything that you have on this earth with you. So all your ill-gotten gains, all the money in the world, you can't take it with you. It will not go with you wherever you go, whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell. All you have, it's going to be right here for somebody else to deal with. And that is our word this morning. And before we get out of here, we have some life lessons from our sister in Christ from Carolyn's Gift today. And we got Friday, Saturday, and Sunday's word. And Friday's word is this: good morning. There is nothing that you will ever go through whereas God is not with you. Ooh, hallelujah. You better preach this. The Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail nor abandon you. Wherever you go today, God will be right there. And our scripture from Sister Carolyn this morning is this: delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37 and 4. And the desire of God's heart is for us to repent and be saved. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. This is all we got. And all I can say is find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church and remember to keep God first in everything you do. And thank him for waking you up this morning. And as we depart, we say our prayer. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. Family, it's a wrap. Be blessed and know that you are children of the Most High and that Jesus came for us, for sinners, so that we have time to repent. So, Father God, we ask forgiveness for all sins, seen and unseen, and ask you, Lord, to please guide us in the way that we should go so that we can, the desire of our heart can be salvation. Be blessed, family. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours again. Amen. It's a wrap. Time to do what? It's time to go to work.